How you doing? Great. You look so serious. It scared me there for a minute. Yeah, it's. I remember, Kathy, remember when Clint was sitting right there in the front, and it was a Sunday night, and the auditorium was had lots of people there, a couple hundred, 250 maybe. And there was a lady that got up to sing, Doyle, they call you Doyle, Dr. Robinson. Yeah. I had Uncle Doyle. He's my favorite uncle. I like that. He was. He's my favorite uncle. I love him. Anyway, maybe that's why I like you so much. But anyway. The piano player and the singer couldn't get on the same page. And there was like a dramatic pause. And so Clint's sitting there, and boy, it was like forever before she could get to singing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, you need these musicians. And all of a sudden, Clint, I've tried, but he takes after his mother in so many ways. Clint finally was just, you know, frustrated that she didn't sing, and he finally said, "Hit it, Hot Lips." And, yeah. About 5 minutes later, she was able to sing on the entire crowd. Clint is a blessing. He is an usher at our church. He ushers on the east side. Everybody comes in, they say, "Isn't that sweet that we have a section over there, a section here, another section over here." And he's one of the ushers over in the east side. And people will say, "Isn't that sweet, that Down syndrome young man over there ushering?" And little do they realize that he has a great memory. He really does. He knows like 100 scripture verses, and he has just got a great memory. We praise the Lord for that. But he takes up the offering, and it's so good because he's able to tell me what they give in that section, and then I'm able to help them with their stewardship. And it was really funny last summer. The ushers came, they were laughing in the back, and I didn't know what they were laughing about, and I guess there were a couple of high school or a couple college-age guys in the back, and they were kind of new to our church, and they didn't put anything in the plate. And so Clint's standing there, and our head usher said, afterwards, I said, "What were you guys laughing about?" He said, "Clint kept on standing there, handing the plate back, and then finally he said, 'Come on, man.'" And then they finally put something in, and then he went to the next section. But it is a blessing. Clint is a blessing. How I love my son and how he's taught me patience. Before Clint, it was Dr. Stevens who taught me patience. And then it is good to see my friend John Stevens and Marilyn here. And what a blessing they are. And I know you folks know them, and we've been friends for a long time. And yes, some of the bad habits that I have today are as a result of being around him a lot during board meetings. But it is good to see him, Dr. Scoville, Mrs. Scoville. Good to see them. He was my men's chorus professor and also my song leading professor. And I passed because he said my shoes were shiny not only in the front but in the back, and he liked that. And so I passed. We had some good times. We went out on tour. Chicago one time, we had a good time, Pacific Garden Rescue Mission, things of that sort. But what a great, great time. Remember back in 1968, I told him the other day, he looked so great. I asked him what he was using. He told me Avon formaldehyde. And so it works great. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Are you ready for chapel today? If you are, say amen. Amen. Somebody next to you didn't say amen, tell them to say amen. All right, let's all stand. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I found my glasses. We got them. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things lost, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, this righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verses 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Back to verse number 10. Read it with me. Ready? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd bless the reading of your word. And I pray, Father, that you would use this chapel time as a time that we would receive your word, receive it with hearts that are ready to respond to your word. Father, I thank you for this college. I thank you for Brother Beal. I thank you, Father, for the work that's being accomplished here. Thank you, Father, for all the things that are being done here to the praise of your glory. Now bless this time, and Father, we'll be careful to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The challenge is pungent. It's a portion of Scripture that so captivated my attention. I love Philippians. My life verse is Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The challenge is a challenge that's so important for each of us. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, while a testimony, it's a great truth for us to grasp that I may know him, that I may know him. First, I'd like us to notice Paul's devotion as we look at this portion of Scripture, that I may know him. No doubt, he wasn't devoted to tradition, heritage, or religion, but he was devoted now to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had made a difference in his life. Notice the Bible says in verse number 10 again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. To know him more, not just to know religion, not just to know a little bit more about what he was involved in, the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to know him. I've got the relationship now, but I want to know him. You want to know him? Paul, you met him on the Damascus Road. Remember when you were Saul, now you're Paul. You met him. No, it's more than just the salvation. I want to know him. Do you see that? If you see that, raise your right hand. Do you see that? I want to know. It's more than just the salvation. It's more than the relationship. I want the fellowship. I want to know him. I want to know him in a deeper way. I want to know him in a greater way. You know, how many are in the know? How many are in the know? And now, let's stop just for a second. What do you mean, Pastor? We're a knowledge-driven society today. You have to know. That's why Facebook is so popular. I know I don't have a Facebook account. I've responded in such a way. We have a church Facebook account, but I just don't have time for a Facebook account. If you want to FaceTime me, come and see me. Seth, by the way, it's good to see you. How you doing? How you spending those missionary dollars that we're sending to you? Well, good, great. All right. All right, very good. Yeah, he's a good missionary. I appreciate his family. Appreciate him. But we are all wanting to know more. I was telling my wife, we've never lived in a day at Wikipedia and all the rest of these things. We've got Facebook, Twitter. How many are twits here? How many are Twitters people? Okay, a few. I said, how many are twits? I mean, Twitter people, yeah, they got to know. They got to know. And we've got the Wi-Fi. iPad, the computers, the news apps, all the different kinds of apps, ABC, NBC, CNN, all those fake news places, Fox News, all those places. People have to know. People have to know today. Never a time in history have we had more information, more knowledge than now. We are in a information-driven age. In Philippians chapter 3, we look at verse number 10 and he uses the word no. It's personal knowledge. It's not just intellectual, but it's a personal experience. It's interesting. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1, Adam knew his wife. And the Hebrew word there is yada, and it mirrors the Greek word that's used here, which is our English word, to know. It's a personal knowledge. It's a personal knowledge. Personal. I love Paul's devotion. It's inspiring. He is so wanting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is involved in it's great, but he writes it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Wait, Paul, he's your Savior. You met him on the Damascus Highway. Remember back in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Yes, but it goes beyond that. I want to know him. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ that I may know him. I want to know him and his power, his enablement, his empowerment. I want to know him. All right, what are you talking about? All right, let's stop for just a moment. Let's see. Brother Fox, we met last night. We probably met while you were here as a student. But you know me. You know. What's my name? Brother Jackson, all right? Brother Jackson. What's my favorite color? You don't know? No. What's my favorite sports team? No, not Michigan. Michigan State. Okay, now, where do I keep my socks? On my feet, yeah, but I'm talking about the other socks. Yeah, these socks, they match my, you see my burgundy? They match my burgundy, yeah. Anyway, he knows me. He knows me a little bit. He knows me by name, but you really don't know me. You know, Dr. Scoville has known me since 1968. Can you believe that, Doc? 1968. I was a little punk freshman going to the college there. First 4-year graduating class at Maranatha. And Dr. Scoville, he knows me. He knows I can't sing. He knows me. He's known me for 50 years. But he doesn't really know me. He doesn't know my favorite color. He doesn't know my favorite sports team. He doesn't know where I keep my socks. I keep them in the second drawer of my Chester drawers. That's where they're kept. But he doesn't know me. He knows me, but he doesn't know me. He doesn't know me like that lady back there, my wife, Kathleen Ann Jackson. She knows me. She knows me very well. She knows me, and she knows where what my favorite color is. What's my favorite color, honey? Where's my socks? And let me see. What's my favorite sports team? The Steelers, that's right. What's yours, the Panthers? Oh. Meow. She knows me because she has a relationship with me. She has fellowship with me every day. We have a great marriage. I'm not just saying that. We have a great marriage. Why? Because of communication. There's expressing. There's listening and there's responding. And we're all involved in that. Those are three key words, by the way, to have a good relationship. But it's important to recognize that Paul is saying, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him more. I want to know him better. Okay, so how do we get to know him better? Well, you need to communicate with him. Or with whomever. Like when I was in high school, my wife and I started dating April 17th, our senior year. I was, I went over to her school and I saw her over there and, we were both going to some public high schools. And then, I went to her church. She came to my youth group and then I went off to college and she went off to college. She went to a school down just south of here a little ways. And, I went to a school way up north. And so we started writing letters. Back in the day, we didn't have cell phones either. We had to have a pocket full of change. And you would wait in line to use the phone. Click, click, quarter, 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 quarter. And then people were behind you yelling because we only had like two phones on the entire campus, Doc. It was terrible. But anyway, and then we write letters. Every day I would get a letter from her. And they always had perfume on them. I remember how the Mrs. Gould would blush when she'd hand me the letters. It was It was so funny. But anyway, it was the words back and forth. How do we know God? The Word of God. Amen. We get in the Word of God. To know God, we need to get in His Word. Psalm 119. Those first 8 verses there. We know God by getting into His Word. And then we learn His ways and then we know His will. Yes, it's good. That's good. Yeah. You spend time with them. You communicate. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How can I spend time with God? Well, in the Word and in prayer. Not just rote prayers. It's kind of sad sometimes. You know, as a pastor, when I ask men to pray, I want them to pray sincerely. I don't want them to pray just a rote prayer. I want them to pray knowing that they have access to the very throne room of God. By the way, we have access to the very throne room of God. If you're excited about that, say amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Have you been there today? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Let's look at it together. Look at what it cost our Savior. His blood has given us this access in the very throne room of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Think about it for a moment. Some of you guys are going to be preachers. You need God's power. We got enough guys in the ministry today that are trying to operate on their own power. It's God's power. It's God's power in the pulpit. It's God's power singing. It's God's power serving. It's God's power. Girls are getting ready to go to college. And last minute, I had twin daughters. Last minute, they have to have these last minute things. And so we drove over to Meyer, which is across the street from the church, a place called Meyer. Do you have Meyer's down here? Big box store. They sell everything there. And so in those days, back in 2001, when they were getting ready to go to college, we drove over to the Meyer's. Clip was sitting in the front seat here. I'm sitting in the front seat here. We had a conversion van. And so we drove up to the door. We're going to drop the kids, the girls and their mother off at the door. And all of a sudden, there's these two guys that walk in front of the van, and their pants are hanging way down. Did they do that around here? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. No, I'm not talking about the guys here, but I'm talking about, she's over there. Yeah, we hope you fix that, Pastor Jackson, before you leave. But anyway. And so their pants are hanging way down, and the girls are in the back seat, and Clint's up here in the front with me, and I'm over here, and I got my window down and my arm out because it's summertime in Michigan. You know summertime in Michigan? 3 weeks in August. But anyway, and the girls are in the back seat, and they're saying, wow, that's disgusting. And Kathy said, yeah, somebody should tell them to pull their pants up. And Katrina says, yeah, that's just, where are their mothers at? Somebody should tell them to pull their pants up. So they get right about here, and then they're right here, and all of a sudden Clint goes, pull your pants up! They both turn, look at me, like they're going to pull me out of the van and beat me up. And so I just gave them the worst look I could possibly give them. And they started walking, and they jerked on their pants a little bit. So I said to Clint, Clint, you can't be yelling at people, telling them to pull their pants up. They're going to come in here and beat you up. He says, uh-uh. I said, what do you mean, uh-uh? They'll come in here and beat you up. Those guys are bigger than you. They'll beat you up. He says, uh-uh. I said, what do you mean, uh-uh? He said, you beat them up. He knew where his power was. Yeah. The van, that was his power right there. Yeah, we need the power of God rushing in our lives. Amen? You need to recognize that it's important that we are involved in knowing God. Think about it. Think about it. Spend time with God in prayer. Think about the thoughts. Our thoughts need to be on God. For as a man thinketh, so is he. Again, we looked at that the other day in chapel. Looked at that yesterday in our preacher boys class. How many thoughts do you have a day? Between 5,000 and 10,000. That's our problem. We're not thinking about God the way we ought to think about God. And then give your heart to God. Matthew 22. And it's so important that we recognize the love of the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. So, I want to know him. I love his devotion. Don't you love his devotion? He's just wonderful. I want to know him. Paul, I want to know more than just salvation. I want to know him. Second, notice the determination. Second, he was driven by determination. The devotion drove him to press toward the mark, to know the Lord, and pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He had this compulsive, urgent quality, a driven sense of obligation. I want to know him. And I'm going to keep on going forward. I'm going to keep on pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus, of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. The serious Olympic runner is driven. He's driven to succeed. He's driven to attain. The serious businessman is driven to succeed, to have success. The serious student is driven to get the best grade he can because he knows that will help him and plant those truths in his mind so he can become what he needs to become in life. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, the Bible says, forgetting those things which are in the past. Notice verse number 13. Take your Bibles and turn there back to our text there. Notice verse number 13. He says, brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Know that if he would continue to allow the things in his past to come up that could hinder him from pressing toward the mark, from knowing the Lord. And so it's really a great lesson here for us to let those things go. Let those things, they've been forgiven. Let's go forward for God. You and I become like the object of our attention. If we're always thinking about our failures and when we're going to be a failure, we need to be thinking about how God can use us, how we can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You don't become more Christ-like by living the way you used to live. You become more Christ-like because now you have a renewed mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you have the opportunity, because you have the power of God resting upon your life, the Holy Spirit in you, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to start thinking the way God wants you to think. Back to this mind in our thinking. Guys are guys and girls are girls. Amen? Isn't that great? Yeah. I know the world around us are having problems with that, but hey, guys are guys and girls are girls. What do you mean? I mean, men talk about Jaguars, Panthers, Rams, and Bears, and girls think we're talking about the zoo. Girls talk about fall arrangements, and most men are thinking about making arrangements for deer hunting. Amen? Yeah, girls will talk about pinning, and we think they're talking about wrestling, but they're talking about Pinterest. How many girls know about Pinterest? What a sad thing. We had a Pinterest fail not long ago. My wife has a, what's the name of that thing, honey, you have? A Ninja Foodie. A Ninja Foodie. It's like a pressure cooker, hot pot thing, you know. And you stick the chicken in there and 20 minutes later you can eat it. Well, maybe an hour later, I'm not sure. But anyway, Kathy stuck that chicken in there and we couldn't eat it. But anyway, it was a Pinterest fail. That's what my grandsons would tell their mother. They're 11 and 9 and would tell their mother, 11 and 10, and they had something. And they said, Mom, we're not blaming you, but we don't want you to go to Pinterest ever again. From a spiritual perspective, we become like the object of our attention, as I mentioned. Paul emphasizes knowing Jesus. Are you emphasizing that in your life, knowing the Lord, that I may know him? I'm changed. Why? Damascus Road. I'm changed. It's changed me. I'm looking forward to knowing more about how God wants me to live. I want to know him. I don't care about being the best Jew, the smartest guy, the most religious guy. No, all those things are but dung. The lowest form of dirt. 1982, I went to India. And in India, I was trying to communicate back to my wife. And I was trying to send my wife, I was there for almost 3 weeks. I was trying to send my wife back notes. So I wrote her a couple of letters, but I knew they were going to get back. And so I went to the telegram to place a telegram to her. And so I knew the guy didn't quite understand what I was trying to say, but I said, just write this. Dear Kathy, I love you. I miss you. See you soon. Love, Doug. And so I knew he was struggling with that, but he sent it. And I sent lots of letters while I was there, but this is the only letter that Kathy kept, this telegram, because it said, Dear Kathy, I love you. I miss you. See you soon. Love, Doug. Yeah, she still has that. She kept it. Yeah. What, you girls nodding? Yeah, good idea. Yeah, good idea. Yeah, the prize of the high calling of God. I want to know Christ. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. But notice next the delight. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we go on down. And we know that Paul is excited about running this race. He's motivated by this. I want to know him. I want the prize I call him. Then verses 20 and 21. For our conversation, our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Even in prison, this dismal situation, the Apostle Paul is still looking up. Are you looking up today? Amen? You will be if you are pleading with God as Paul pled. I want to know him. I want to know you. I want to know you. It's more than just religion. I was involved in religion. It's more than just being a Pharisee. I was involved in all that. But it's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know him. I want to know him. Say it with me. I want to know him. Did you get up this morning, have your devotions? Did you say, Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day? You say, Lord, help me through the day. I will learn all I can learn so that I can better learn of you. I want to know him. Actually, we see more of this great attitude in chapter 4. We see in 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I am learned what state that I am therewith to be content. Verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The light he had. Apostle Paul, I'm telling you, he's in Nero's prison, and he is so involved in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The emphasis in his life is to know the Lord and know what the Lord could do for him. It's a wonderful thing. I'm looking forward to his return, maybe even today, he says. Basically, as I look at this, who shall change our body for our conversations in heaven? Let not your heart be troubled. Maybe, you know, as we think of the Apostle John, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions, or not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go prepare a place for you. Come again and receive in myself there where I am. There ye may be also. What a wonderful truth. Apostle Paul is living in Nero's prison, looking forward to the Lord's return, pressing toward the mark that I may know him. What do you want, Paul? You're in Nero's prison. What do you want? Well, I want to know him. If we were in Nero's prison, what would we say? What would we say, I want? I want to get out of here. Huh? How many think they'd say, somebody came to you and said, what do you want? Honest now. What would you say? I'm going to get out of here. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. I'm willing to suffer. He suffered more than I ever suffered. I want to know him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Years ago, when I was young like you, Dr. Scoble will remember this, maybe Mrs. Scoble too. We won our first trophy ever at Maranatha. Not that Doc was ever really that interested in us winning trophies in sports. He was always wanting us to get more involved in the ministry, and he always thought music would be a better deal than ministry most of the time, although he wrote it for us. But I think, Doc, you remember this. We felt it was a pretty good accomplishment, and we were pretty excited. But on that day, there was a young man from the Shepherd's Home, from Union Grove. Kind of remember that now? Yeah. That young man, who was born with Down syndrome, got up and gave a testimony about how he was saved and how he loved the Lord and he was relying on God's strength in his daily life. Now, I got to admit, it's the first time in my life I really ever noticed a Down syndrome person. But I took notice of him that day because he was so real. I saw his features were pronounced and his speech was a bit garbled. After his testimony, he sang. It was like an angel from heaven. He sang. And you knew he knew God. He sang, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Needless to say, I think I was sitting next to one of my buddies. I think it was Lynn Saunders, but we had that trophy that we had received. It was right in front of us there as we were sitting on the row. We kind of took the trophy and kind of pushed it under the chair. It was so insignificant compared to what this man young man had done in chapel that day. His speech was a little garbled, but his message was crystal clear. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I want to know him. How about you? I want to know him. I want to know him in a greater way. I'm going to take the time. I'm going to put as much truth in my heart as I can. So I want to know my Jesus in a greater way. How about you? Let's bow our heads and hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this chapel time. I thank you for these young people, these young adults. I thank you, Father, for their commitment to a cause greater than themselves. I thank you that they're training for the ministry, learning the Word of God. Father, I thank you for many who want to serve you. I pray, dear God, that you would help each and every one of us today to get exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying in 3:10 when he said, I want to know him. We want to know you. Help us, dear God, to push aside the flesh and the world and the devil. Help us bring to our hearts the Word. We may know your ways. We may live in your will. Dear God, help us. Make sure our Christianity just isn't a lip service, but a life service. And that we really want to know you. Help us, dear God, to be real before you today, honest before you today. Confess anything that could be hindering us from knowing you in a greater way. Dear God, we love you. You so loved us. Help us know you.